Amen. This morning, what is on my heart is a question to that song, "Do you love Jesus?" And someone would say, well, that's kind of a silly question. Sure, we love Jesus. But go deeper into the Word, and is it, do you love Him as the Bible describes? Do you love Him biblically? We know the Father loved the Son. In Matthew, he heard a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And in John's Gospel in the third chapter, it says, the Father loves the Son. And the question, you know, just because sometimes we confess Him as Savior isn't a guarantee that we love Him truly and biblically. And that's, this whole message this morning has just caused me to reflect on my own life and thoughts, and just to say, Lord, help me to really love You, to truly love You as the Word of God describes. One of the characteristics of a born-again Christian is in a saved relationship with God is that they genuinely love the Son of God. Oh, praise God. In John's Gospel, would you turn with me to the 14th chapter of John's Gospel? And here's the question. The answer to the question, and the question I ask is, do you love Jesus? And a true answer to that question is contained in your answer to the second question. Yes.
I'm sorry, what
chapter? 14th chapter, Gospel of John, 14th chapter. And here is the 14th chapter, and let's look at verse 15. If you love Me, keep My commandments. If you love Me, keep My commandments. Go with me to the 21st verse. He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. Let's go to the 23rd verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him, and we will come unto Him and make our abode with Him. If you love Me, keep My commandments. It's easy to say, I love Jesus. We all say it, I love Jesus. But the real answer to that question, the real commitment behind it, is how we behave, and do we keep His commandments? Do we keep His word? Do we live in His word? Praise God. Today, what much with the passes for Christianity is kind of anything goes. Sometimes it's difficult to tell the Christian from the non-Christian. What do we deny ourselves? What do we participate in? The way has been made so broad and so wide. And we get accused of being legalistic. Well, you can't do this and you can't do that. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that witnesses to our heart. It's the truth teller, the Holy Spirit, that says, no, that's not for you. You don't belong there. No, you don't. You shouldn't read that. No, you shouldn't watch that. No, you shouldn't go to that place. The Holy Spirit does that. The truth teller. And Jesus said, if a man love Me and keeps, if he keeps My commandments, he loves Me. Oh Lord, there's such a loose attempt at serving the Lord that everything is trying to put under the umbrella. Everything's okay. Well, you know, that church is doing it, and that church is doing it, and that brother's doing it, and that sister's doing it. And instead of comparing ourselves to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ, we look at others and say, well, that justifies me. I'm okay. Does the Word of God say, you're okay, and I'm okay? Lord, help us to expend every effort to keep your commandments and to keep your word. In 2 Corinthians, in the Amplified Bible, it says, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy because I have promised you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. To present you as a pure virgin to Christ. A blameless bride. A blameless bride. In Ephesians, Paul writes that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Describe God's bride, you and I, the bride of Christ, holy, cleansed, radiant, without stain or wrinkle, without blemish, blameless. The symbolism between Jesus and his bride. Promise to him as our husband, we are to come as a pure virgin to Christ. Oh Lord, would you help us this morning? Are we keeping the word? That's the issue this morning. We say we love Jesus. But are we keeping the word? Is the word in our hearts? And what does the word say? You know, it's easy to say, I love Jesus and I love the word, but go a little deeper. What does the word say? There's so many things. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, walking circumspectly. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Keep yourselves holy. Be holy, for I am holy. That's what the word says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's the word. That's what the word says. And where are we? Are we seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That's what the word says. Jesus told his disciples, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. If that was for the early church, don't you think that applies to us today? Does God have two words? Does God have a word for the early church and a word for the Latter-day church? No, he doesn't. It's one word. Lord, help us. Help us this morning. It rolls off our lips. I love Jesus. But what goes behind it is what's important. That's why Jesus spoke. I believe it's in Matthew somewhere, 19th chapter maybe. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Who is he talking about? Talking about Christians. Talking about Christians. As long as it fits into my lifestyle, as long as it doesn't cause me too much, you know, aggravation or take me out of my comfort zone. Oh Lord. Jesus spoke in Matthew. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And it shouts one word to me, priorities. Who do I love more than Jesus? My money, my job, my possessions, my recreation, my hobbies. What do I love more than Jesus? What prevents me from being here on a Wednesday night? And I'm not talking about people that are infirmed or have limitations. I understand it. What prevents me from being here on a Wednesday night? Mothers and fathers, what prevents you from being here on a Wednesday night? What prevents you on being here on a Sunday night? What prevents you from attending the Bible classes or the prayer meetings? What prevents you? Are we so far along in the Lord? Are we so accomplished in Jesus Christ that we have no need for these things? No, absolutely not. We never reach a place of perfection or maturity. We strive for it, but we never reach it. This is a hard word, I know, but I'm telling you what the Lord's put on my heart. If you love me, keep my commandments. I want to tell you what the Word of God says, because you and I got to follow the Word. Praise God. If you love me, keep my commandments. They're not grievous. Jesus said, my commandments are not grievous. They're grievous if we don't, or we're not surrendered. They're grievous if we have another agenda, if we want to do our own thing. They're grievous if we haven't counted the cost and made a commitment to serve Jesus Christ. Then there's a tug of war going on. There's a battle within. What are your priorities? What are your priorities? Jesus is challenging us, asking us, what are your priorities this morning? Get accomplished in this life, your education, your job, your career, all important things. God's not against those things. But what's the priority? Has it displaced him as first place? Have you read and studied? Have you lived in the Word of God? Speak not evil one of another. Comfort one another. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All the Word of God. These are things that the Word of God has for us that we should abide by and are the commandments of the Lord. Go deeper in the Word. Don't stay superficial. Take stock of your life and your priorities. Oh God, help us this morning. I feel such a pressure of the Holy Ghost. Jesus spoke to Peter in the 21st chapter of John. You don't have to turn to it. He says, when he had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, take charge of my sheep. A third time, he said, Simon, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. What was the point that Jesus was trying to make? Fulfill the commitment that God has placed on your life. Whatever God has placed on your life to do, fulfill that commitment. Do you love him? Do you love him this morning? We sang, I love him so. And I believe we do. But the Word of God is challenging us to go deeper. Oh Lord, am I fulfilling what you've called me to do? Is the work of God in the forefront of my mind? Well, Brother Ron, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a deacon. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. That doesn't matter. It's not the title. It's the work of God. Are you committed to the work of God? God has blessed us with the revelation of His truth. God has opened up the scriptures to our hearts. God has shown us the way. Brother Tom just spoke a few minutes ago, giving us all things that pertain unto life and godliness in so many words. Provided the tools and the ability to live the life. Do we embrace it? Do we embrace it? Oh God, help us this morning. You know, Paul is, his teaching's been called body ministry. First time I heard that terminology, but in the Ephesians, he says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, let me simplify that in saying it like this. From him, Jesus, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You are part of the body of Christ. You have a responsibility to the body. You're just not an isolated person. You just come and go as you please and that's it. There's no connection. No, there is a connection. We're tied together by the Spirit of God that flows through us. We're tied together to that body and we're to edify one another in love. In Hebrews, we find the words, exhort one another daily. Encourage one another daily. Loving Jesus is more than just saying, I love you, Jesus. It's living a life that shows your dedication, that shows your commitment, that shows you're adhering to the Word of God. And the scriptures are alive. They come alive to you. The scriptures direct your path. The scriptures help us to put aside the hurts. The scriptures tell us to forgive and forbear, not to hold grudges, not to have something against our brother or our sister, not to talk badly of one another, not to gossip. The scriptures tell us that. The scripture tells us to be on fire. The scriptures warn us and exhort us. Well, I didn't come for this morning, Brother Ron. I just wanted to hear something pleasant that's not going to make me feel convicted or condemned. I can't tell the Holy Spirit what to tell you. You and I are held accountable for what we know. You know, Jesus said, my word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish that which I please. What does God want to do with his word? He wants to build us up and edify us and bless us and fill us with his Holy Ghost and walk in his spirit. That's what his word wants to do. But if we reject it, his word is going to judge us. You heard the word, didn't you? You heard what I said. You heard how I spoke to you. You heard what the exhortation was. Yet you said, I've got a different idea. Brother and sister, it's serious business here we're talking about. This isn't play church. This isn't come and make myself feel good that I attended church. This is a transforming of the body of Christ, a transforming of our hearts. It says we go from glory to glory. We sing, I am changed in the presence of a holy God. God wants to change us. We're not where we need to be. We never will be where we need to be. We always have to strive to enter the kingdom. Praise God. And what's God doing? He's building us up. What is God doing? He's using us for the kingdom. He's blessing us with spiritual blessings. Praise God. Making us sit together in heavenly places. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. When you say that, I hope the word of God is within you. Just going to bring this back to your memory. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, follow my word. If you love me, don't be lazy as a Christian. If you love me, stay in the word. We're living, as we have said numerous times, in the last days. What is transpiring is beyond imagination. I don't think we could envision this 5 years ago, 10 years ago, certainly 50 years ago. What is going on today? Someone told me yesterday, he says, you know what Brother Mel commented on, this happened at the Olympics. I don't want to dwell on that so much. But the important part is, you see, Satan has pulled off the mask. He's come out of hiding. It's an in-your-face demonic demonstrations. In your face. I'm not hiding anymore. Here I am. And I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to tear down the Christian church. Here I am. But the word says we have power. We have power over all the schemes of the enemy. And people are looking for truth, looking for something to make sense of life. And we have the answer. And why is Jesus speaking to us this way? He says, church, if you're going to be like me, you're going to be like me. Don't just say it, but do it. Don't just talk it, but live it. Oh, Father, help us. Help us this morning. The greatest commandment that Jesus spoke in Matthew, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. All thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. Can we say that this morning? Can we say that this morning individually? You got to answer for yourself. I say, Lord, I got some work to do. The message was convicting me this morning at home, and last night I was thinking, I've had two brothers on my heart to reach out to, and I've hesitated. And I've hesitated to do that. I've held back. I didn't want to, I don't know what it was, but I hesitated. And the Holy Spirit convicted me. In this word, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Well, do what I've commissioned you to do. Do what I've called you to do. Preach the word. Tell them the truth. I don't want to hurt your feelings. That's not my intention. I don't want to make you feel condemned. That's not my intention. The Holy Spirit is saying, you got to know the truth. You can't go before the Lord and say, well, you know, the pastor, he never explained it like this. I never heard this before. Everybody told me I was all right. Everybody was doing it. They pick and choose the services they want to come. They were cold and hot and did the things, enjoyed this life and made excuses and rationalized their behavior and said, I'm okay. After all, I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost. And you know, sometimes I think the baptized are a big stumbling block to the unbaptized. If the Holy Spirit is power, and it is, if the Holy Spirit is the one that leads us and guides us, if the Holy Spirit is the one that makes us holy and righteous, and we the baptized get off the track, you see, the Holy Ghost doesn't force you to do anything. But if we the baptized get off the track, and our testimony goes sideways, and we start behaving like the world, the unbaptized are going to look at us and say, well, wait a minute, isn't he baptized? Isn't she baptized? Well, how come they're acting like this? How come they're saying that? How come I don't see them worship? How come I don't see them pray? How come they miss the services? How come, why, what's going on? They're baptized with the Holy Ghost. You're accountable for your actions. Your unbelieving family is looking on and saying, what's going on? They talk a good game. Yeah, they go to church three times a week, but I don't know. I see things that don't make sense. Lord, let us not be a stumbling block to the unbaptized. Let us not be a stumbling block to this unbelieving world. Every scandal I read, and there's been several in the last few months of these mega pastors, and what has been revealed, what has come out. I'm not going to mention names. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to embarrass or pile on. But what has come out has been terrible. People are saying, this is the God, this is the Jesus you believe in, this is what you're doing. Pastors, deacons were held to a higher standard than the rest of the congregation. We are accountable more than them because they're looking at us and saying, well, you're the example. You should be the example. Do you pray? Do you testify? Do you worship? Do you sing? Do you do the things that God called you to do? Lord, help us. Lord, help us this morning. You know, I just wanted an easy message where God is love and everything's good and everything's just going smooth. I wanted that kind of message. Will you? I'm sorry, that's not what the Holy Spirit's got for you this morning. He's telling you, you got to get right. You got to look at your priorities. Got to examine your heart. Stop making excuses. Stop rationalizing. Well, after all, you know, I'm doing better than I used to be. Wonderful. What are you measuring yourself against? Yourself or Jesus Christ? You know, I think of the times when Jesus, before he was crucified, went to the garden and told his disciples, you stay here and pray. And he went off in a little distance and he prayed. And he came back and they were sleeping. And he woke them up and he says, what are you doing? I told you to pray. He went off again and prayed and came back again and they were sleeping. He woke them up. And the third time he came back, he says, sleep on. How many times have we been sleeping? And God says, pray. Do you have an unsaved loved one in your family? Do you have an unsaved loved one in your family? I would say we all do. Well, what are we doing about it? Well, I hope the Lord touches them. That's a wonderful hope, but you got to put it in action. What are you doing? Pray. Lord, give me opportunities to speak to that loved one. Give me opportunities to show the light to that person. Give me opportunities, Lord, to introduce them to you. Use me, Lord, for the kingdom somehow. Present them with a Bible. Tell them about our YouTube broadcast and the messages. Tell them, direct them to that. They may reject it. That's okay. They may not read that Bible. That's okay. Do your part. Leave the rest in God's hands. Oh, Father, help us. Help us this morning. You know, Matthew Gospel, Jesus said, because of the increase of wickedness in the last days, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Oh, God, help us. If you think you can sit here week after week and stay status quo, the Holy Spirit is going to challenge you. The Holy Spirit is going to get on your case. The Holy Spirit is going to cause you to come to a I got to do something with where I'm at. Either I got to leave this church and find a place that preaches something that I can tolerate that doesn't convict me, or I got to make it right with my soul. I got to examine the scripture. Brother Ron, you preach so much on the necessity of the baptism, but I'm not so sure I believe that. Okay, I'll accept that. Then you answer the question. You answer it. You answer the question. You search the scripture, because you're going to have to answer to him in that day. Well, you know, I didn't pray for the Holy Ghost because I didn't think it was necessary. Well, who told you that? Did you ask me? The Father is going to say, did you ask me? Did you struggle? Did you toil with me and reconcile this? Did you? You know, you just did it because that was your idea. Oh, Father, help us. We need to walk in the Spirit. That's the whole essence of the baptism, is to be able to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? That means a life of righteousness and holiness and service to God. Well, I didn't sign on for this. What? God wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory, and you didn't sign on for that. God, help us. We can't stand idly by and come in and come out the same way, leave and come in and go out the same way, and not struggle with the word. Oh, God, help us this morning. Young people, don't wait to get baptized. I'm not talking water baptism. That's wonderful. Seek the Holy Spirit. He's the guide. He's the leader. He's the glorifier of Christ. He'll give you discernment and wisdom. He'll help you make decisions. You're going to make momentous decisions in the next 5 years, 10 years at the most. You're going to make decisions that will affect the rest of your life, and you don't have the wisdom or the smarts to do it on your own. Let me tell you, I'm not putting anybody down. I'm telling you, God knows. He sees the end. He sees your future. You know, the Word of God says everything is the same to Him. The beginning and the end are the same. God sees your end. He saw your beginning. How does He do that? I don't know. He's out of the format of time. God doesn't live in time. He's the self-sustaining one. He doesn't need anybody or anything to keep Him going. He is it. And He sees it all. And He knows your future. You don't. You don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. But God knows. Well, Brother Ron, I made some mistakes. Haven't we all? Okay, what do we do? We say, well, I got to live with this. That's it. I messed up. No. Okay, Lord, from this day on, lead me, guide me, help me, get me right. Repair my path. Oh, glory to His name. He wants us to bring others into the kingdom. It's not just about us. And He gave us the tools and the ability and the power to do what He's called us to do. If I gave a four-year-old a pick and a shovel and I said, okay, kiddo, dig me a hole. Little kids are going to look at me like I'm out of my mind. What do I do with this, Dad? What do I do with this, Uncle, or whoever? I probably can't even pick them up. But God doesn't do that. It gives us the ability. But it's how much we surrender to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to close with this greatest commandment. And I'm going to stop. Brother, if the word offended you, sister, if the word offended you, take it out on the Lord. You can get mad at me if you want. That's okay. I'll accept that. But it's the Spirit of God that is speaking to you. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. All means all. All means all. Amen. Praise God. Well, I don't want to change my lifestyle. Well, brother, are you experiencing the glory of God and the blessings of God? Well, life's good. I don't have any problems. I got a nice job. Everything's okay. I'm going along. I'm comfortable. Is that all you want to be, is comfortable? Everything's going along. Someday a trial is going to hit. A trouble is going to come in your life. And you're going to say, well, what do I do now? As long as life is good, we don't need Jesus. Isn't that true? As long as everything's okay, no pain, no problems, no disease. No trouble on the job. We don't need Jesus. And you know what? Some people are living in that reality. The devil has got them so blinded, they're living in that reality. They're living in, hey, everything's good. My family, my parents, the kids, good families, and, you know, wonderful, blah, 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 blah. Isn't there something a little more that your soul needs? Isn't there something deeper? Isn't there something within you that's crying out saying, oh God, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to have this anxiety. I don't want to not know what's going to happen. I want to know, is there a life after? Is this real? Is this book real? Is it telling me the truth? Or do we dare begin to think along those lines? Because it's going to cause some questions, and it's going to cause you to not resolve them until you get on your knees and get serious with the Lord. But praise God. He loves you this morning. He loves you this morning. He loves you. Sometimes that love is always there. I heard someone say it like this. Sometimes the light of his love is shining upon us and we put up an umbrella. You know, but the love is still shining down on us. Well, Brother Ron, I really messed up. I've not got a good track record. I got a lot of things that, if I'm being really honest with myself, I look back and I'm saying, you know, I missed it. I misbehaved. I didn't give God. I didn't surrender. And every one of us, I'm telling you, every one of us has those moments. But does that stop God's love? What does the scripture say? Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. The only one who can separate us from that love is us. We can reject and say, no, Lord, keep your love. I like being miserable. Let me feel rotten. I enjoy it. No, who says that? His love is always there. And even in the times he speaks in such a manner, his love is always there. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. May the name of the Lord be praised.